Thank you for choosing another presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We pray that you will be blessed by the following sermon and that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart.
Well, church, had a challenge getting here tonight, but nonetheless, praise God, we are here. And there's a lot that we have to serve off the plate tonight. So therefore, let me begin this way. Suppose the Lord would begin tomorrow to make people as sick as they claim to be today and couldn't come to church. Suppose the Lord would begin to take children away from parents who use them as an excuse for staying home from church meetings and ministries. And suppose the Lord would make people as poor as they say they are when the offering plate came by. Or suppose he would have everybody stoned for covetousness like Achan. Or suppose the Lord now would let some parents look now into the future and see what their lax example and control did for their children. Or suppose the Lord God would take away parents from children who are disobedient, unappreciative, disrespectful. Or suppose the Lord would make your mate, your friend, your fellow church member or relative as mean as you say they are. And suppose the Lord would take godly husbands now away from wives who continually fail to submit themselves to their love, leadership, and authority in Christ as Christ has over the church. Or suppose the Lord would take wives away from husbands who continually now to fail to submit themselves to love them as Christ loves the church. And suppose the Lord God fixed it that you couldn't go back to that church that you left because. Or suppose eternity begin for you today, where would you spend it? God's message to us this evening is entitled, Experience the Power. Would you pray with me? Father, here we are again. God of heaven, oh Lord, remember us again tonight as the nights before. By pouring out your Holy Spirit to pierce our hearts, to pierce our minds. Fill us, oh God. Speak to our hearts personally tonight, especially myself. Lord of heaven, I am nothing but a servant that's willing. Forgive me for my sins. Saturate this place now with your Holy Spirit. Lord, put your words in my mouth. And fill this place with your Spirit and in our hearts. Bind the enemy. This we pray in Jesus' name. Let everyone say, Amen. Amen. I'd like for you to travel with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. What book did I say? 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let's look at verse 7. You might be already there because of the handouts. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. And the word of God says to us, For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love. And of what? And a sound mind. Brothers and sisters, this text says something powerful about power. Another translation says, For God has not given us the spirit of timidity, but of power. God doesn't want any vacillating jellyfish, weak backboned men and women. It takes a strong person to serve God. And now as we wait on the Lord's return, we are to be a people of power. One great leader said one time, the church today is spiritually bankrupt. There is no power amongst Christians. And because this is too often true, there is a dangerous and even tragic loss of confidence in the church, Christianity, and sadly, Christ himself. The problem is that when they see us and find us weak, impotent, and slaves to habit, then they judge Christ as ineffectual and irrelevant to today's life. As power is controlled in the material realm today, there is a need for spiritual power in the spiritual realm. Come on and say amen. And if the church does not now rediscover this power through its relationship to Jesus Christ, then the challenge of the church will be inconsequential, and the world will be right to go materialistic and be right to forget about God and religion altogether. So tonight's challenging question is to us all, I'm in the boat with you, do the scriptures and the lives of church people offer any hope for modern mankind? If the answer is no, then why do we belong to a church? And what is the church all about? The question is there any spiritual power today which can answer now the problems of delinquency, crime, drug addictions, and the multiplying breaking up of the family? Is there any spiritual power to correct the social revolution and all the other things that are plaguing this world today and making it a madhouse in God's universe? Brothers and sisters, in 1 Timothy 1:1, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is our hope. And in Titus 2:11 to 13, and I love to always read that, it tells us that we ought to look for the blessed hope, which is Christ and his second coming. That's the only thing that'll fix it, but while we're here, we need power. Church, some kind of devotion is required in a spiritual sense. And in order for us to receive what God is anxious to do with us and to do through us in finishing his work, some of us have to give up some sleep. Give up some pleasure and cut down on recreation and spend more time in the laboratory of the prayer closet in order to receive from God the power that he is anxious and willing to give. My dear wife on the job often get approached and say, you come to work all day and then you run home and you drive 2 hours to do a revival at a local church there in Bakersfield. Why do you do that? That's abnormal. I work all day. I can't do anything like that. And the thing about that, not lifting ourselves up, we're nothing, but I'm thinking if we are truly children of God today, in these last days, you will think that that's something that we should be focused on. And when God calls you, it doesn't matter where it is. He ordained the moment. And if you're truly looking for the second coming of Jesus, that ought to be something on your plate. And not a problem. Let me tell you, church, some people don't want to do anything for God. But they want all the luxuries of life and they want all the blessings of God. That's what they want. They want that. They say they love Jesus. They say they want his power. But think about it now. When you love someone, you want to spend a lot of time with that person. You want to get to know that person as much as you can. You don't even want them to go to the restroom because you want to spend that kind of time. You know, when you first met the person you're married to, boy, you know, it was like, wow, you stay on the phone all night long. You want to get to know them. You want to spend time with them. Wherever they are, you want to be there. And the thing about it today, when it comes to us sharing that we say that we love Jesus, every time the church doors are open, you know, this is not even in this sermon. Thank you, Jesus. Every time the church doors open, if you truly love Jesus, you want to be where he is. You want to be where he's talked about. You want to be where you can talk to him amongst others. You want to be there. And it's not a problem. Even if it's all night prayer meeting, amen. You won't even look at the clock to see whether or not you're going to have 1 or 2 hours left. You don't care about the clock. Why? Because you want to spend time with that person that you love. And why do we need to do this? If we're going to experience the power. We got to spend time with Jesus. Our beloved, if God is going to finish his work in a blaze of glory, we need to understand something. We need discipline in prayer. Discipline in Bible study and in all the regiments of Christianity so that we might become what God would have us to become. Yes, we're rascals in our own eyes and many others, amen. But God doesn't see as others see. He actually can see what we may become by the merits of his power. And if you want to be what God wants you to become, you will want to be in the church house, wherever he's talked about, wherever he is, so you can receive and experience the power. Oh, beloved, it's time for us to attract the attention of those men and women, boys and girls, who are groping in this world for something to connect themselves to spiritually. Now, church, the answer is that there must be a change in our character. We're going to deal with that tonight. The Bible standards that the church proclaims uphold and uphold are torn down. And somebody has to lift them up and show the world what love is and what Jesus can do with lost men and women. Church, we truly need to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. In Joel chapter 2, the Bible gives reference to the latter rain being poured out and the truth of God's word. The last warning message now to a doomed world is going to swell into a loud cry across the nations. And God is looking for soldiers that he can endow with this latter rain power so they can go forth and proclaim this message as a lighthouse to this world. Well, there's a problem. And the problem is, we as Christians qualify, but we have to qualify spiritually and by faith to receive this power and to be a part of God's final phase. God is going to give to those who qualify through humility, repentance, and confession through faith in Jesus Christ, the spirit of dynamite. A spirit which is explosive and moves things. You know, people, you know, some people, you know, you always want them to pray for you. Because when they pray, something happens. And break down the madness and foolishness that is a hindering wall to so many souls today. My brothers and sisters, let me tell you, God wants each of us to be a lighthouse full of his Holy Spirit, reflecting his character and his truth through our lives. This is why he says in Ezekiel chapter 36, what book did I say? Ezekiel chapter 36. Looking at verse 23. God is not through with us yet. Praise God, he wants to use even me. And in verse 23 of Ezekiel 36, he says, "And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them." Yeah, you messed up. But, "and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes." That's what he wants to do. Beloved, the Lord also tells us in Ezekiel 39:29 that when we are faithful, when we're what? He will pour out his spirit upon us and will not hide his face from us. Thank you, Jesus. And then in Isaiah 44:3, he says he will pour his spirit upon our seed and bless our offspring. You know that's conditional. God wants us to be faithful and follow his will, because our sins can travel to the third and fourth generations of them that hate him. The Bible says that. So if he will allow that to happen, when you're faithful, he will bless the third and fourth generation and your seed. Come on and say amen. Let me tell you, the unlimited power of God abides in the Holy Spirit now, and the Holy Spirit is supposed to abide in us. We talked about that last night. And if the Holy Ghost is in us, then the power of God is supposed to be in us. So what's the excuse for the church not exercising this power? What is the reason for the lack of the Holy Spirit in the church? Now let's begin the sermon. Beloved, there are several reasons why the church lacks the full power of the Holy Spirit that God wants to give. Yeah, you can have the Spirit working with you, pushing on you, leading you, but do you have it in you? There's a difference. Tonight I want to cover five areas that we need to consider personally. Notice I said personally. The first area of why the power of the Holy Spirit is held back is because of disobedience to the commandments of God. The Bible says in Acts 5:32, "And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey him." There it is. God says, when you obey me, I'll give you my Holy Spirit. God's words tell us that he gives his Holy Spirit to those who are obedient to his will. It's implied that you don't receive it when you're disobedient. Come on and say amen. Let's take another look at another text, concerning this. And John chapter 14, looking at verses 15 to 17. We want to read that tonight. John 14, what book did I say? Looking now at verse 15 to 17. If you have it, say amen. We know this one all too well. It's one of the foundations that we stand on. Amen. The word of God says in verse 15, "If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you." How long? How long? That's the Holy Spirit. "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth where? Where? And shall be where? In you." See, with you and in you. Now, beloved, this thing goes even further than that. Remember when I shared that it's about pleasing God when it comes to the Christian lifestyle. Let's see what the Bible says to that. 1 John 3:22. What book? 1 John 3:22. God says, I'll give you my Holy Spirit if you keep my commandments. But it goes further than that. So let's take a look. In 1 John 3:22, he says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Why? Because we keep his commandments. There it is. Then here it comes. Here's the other part. And do those things that are pleasing in his sight. You see, brothers and sisters, it goes even beyond the keeping of God's commandments when it comes to receiving the blessings we ask for and the Holy Spirit. It's about committing our lives fully to comply with all the principles of God's word. There are principles that govern our entire life that's laid out in the scriptures. Did you know that? And they show us that God is displeased and he has displeasure of how his people eat, how his people drink, how his people dress. It's there. It's there. Now, I want you to understand, please understand, if we're going to be a lighthouse, what did I say? A true representative of God, we need to consider this counsel from the Word of God, and it goes like this, and it's found in Isaiah 8:20. Let's travel there. We're in school tonight. Come on and say amen. Isaiah 8:20. Just to show you how the Word of God teaches itself, amen? It interprets itself. You don't need my opinion. That's why we hand you the scriptures. Go and learn, amen? The Word of God says in Isaiah 8:20, if you have it, say amen. Amen. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, the Word of God, the Bible, it is because there is no light in them. There's that word light again. We're talking about being a lighthouse, amen? So here now, we see the law. That's the Ten Commandments. Are you with me? What is the testimony? The Bible says in Revelation 19:10, let's travel there. Revelation 19:10. And the Bible says, and I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Let's take another step. What is the spirit of prophecy? Travel with me to Revelation 22:9. You're still with me? Say amen. The Word of God says, then he said unto me, see thou do it not. What's happening here? John wants to worship this prophet. And it looks like an angel coming, but it's one of God's prophets. And it says, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren, the prophets. And of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. The spirit of prophecy, prophets, the spirit of prophecy is the writings of the prophets. Now we get a little light on this thing. The Bible is the testimony of Jesus written by the prophets. So therefore, when Isaiah says to the law, the Ten Commandments, and to the testimony, the rest of the scriptures that makes up the Bible, written by the prophets, and we know that there is a prophet that has, true prophet, that has written things that does not have a book in the Bible, but it's a true prophet, just like John the Baptist, a true prophet, just like Elijah, a true prophet, but they didn't write a book in the Bible, but it is still the spirit of prophecy. And God says, if you follow these, my law, and the writings of the prophets, which is the testimony of Jesus, I'll give you the power. God is saying, if you refuse to keep and follow my commandments and the counsel from the Bible, there is no light in you. You can't experience the power to be a lighthouse. Let me move on to number two. You still with me? Come on and say amen. I know that was heavy. You couldn't lift it. All right. Number two. Why people are not given the power of the Holy Spirit? A lack of faith. Have mercy. A lack of faith to trust in and believe God. Those children of Israel came to that bank there at the Red Sea and began to murmur and complain. Let me ask the question. We may say it to ourselves, what was wrong with them? Didn't they see all the miracles that took place in Egypt? But look at this. When they get to the banks of the Red Sea, look what they're saying now. But we can't laugh, and we can't scorn, or we can't say anything about them. Because we do the same thing today. We have a lack of faith in God in many areas in our lives. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We have the same challenges sometimes. That light bill comes in the mail with the red window saying shut off. And it's the same amount of money that the tithe and offering is. And we don't trust God because they say they're going to turn it off by 5 if it's not in by 4:59. Huh? What are you going to do? We scorn those that was at the banks of the Red Sea. But what about your Red Sea and being faithful to God and trusting in him? No matter what contrary winds has come your way, and you're asking for the Holy Spirit to fill you, and the test come and you flunk it. Can't get the power. Number three, not truly loving God or our fellow man. Now, I dealt with not truly loving God by people not showing up whenever the church house is open, because if I love God, where is that? I'm going. It's crowded in there. Move over. I want to sit down. Huh? Wow. You know, we don't truly love one another like we say we do in many places. We profess it. You see, some people, it's like a large Bengal majestic tiger. These tiny parasites. Here's this big ferocious animal in the jungle that terrifies every other animal in the jungle. Bad brother or sister. And they're terrified. But these small little parasites get in between their toes and dig in and cause them to become crippled, and they can barely walk or run. These little tiny parasites eat away at their paws and causing them pain where they can't even move hardly. Church, we're often like that. Irreproachable now on the great matters, and yet riddled through with little small holes. It is what we call little infirmities, insignificant, and apparently inconsequential drawbacks, so that we almost tend to overlook them. Stay with me. We're going somewhere now. Don't get out of the car yet. Amen. And when we face up to it, they are our biggest problems. The question may come, Lord, why are these little things so important? Reminds me of a story of a man building a 100-foot statue of a nice, large, majestic soldier with a sword in his hand. And he had a good friend who always would like to come by and see his progress, you see. And he was there, and he was at the waist one week, and he went back 2 weeks later, he was at the top of his head. He says, man, you're almost finished with this thing. He says, yeah, doesn't it look great? He says, how much further do you have to go? Oh, I have to do the top of his head. But you know what? I'm not going to do that. And his friend at the bottom of the statue yelled up and says, why aren't you going to do that? Nobody's going to see it. And his friend from the bottom looked up at him and said, God will see it. God says no one else may notice the little things in your character, but I do. You come to church all dressed up in a suit or in a dress, but your character and love for people has small leaky holes in it. Our church, God looks on our hearts and at our motives. You see, the Bible says in 1 John 3:19-21, and hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. In other words, when my heart says I'm no good because I know I'm up to no good, I'm no good. Doesn't matter what other people say about me. Many people in the church running around asking for the Holy Spirit to be filled with and everything, and they're running around and asking God to fill them. Yes, uh-huh. And they're worried about reputation. Reputation might get us around in this world, but we're trying to make it to heaven, and the only thing that will get us there is character by the blood of the Lamb. What do you say? Oh, beloved. So as the scripture says, if our hearts condemn us not, then we have peace with God. Check the inventory of our hearts right now and see if there's malice or hatred or extreme dislike towards somebody that you know simply needs the love of God wrapped around them as you do. Think about it. Do you really love your brother? Do you really love your sister, your mother, your father, your relatives, church family, and that harassing, unkind neighbor and boss? We can fake it with people, but God understands and he sees, and through his eyes, he sees all. We go through the week talking about them behind their backs, while we're asking for the anointing of the Holy Spirit in the morning. And we're talking behind their backs, not realizing that it's before a holy God. And we wonder why our blessing didn't come. And then when we see those individuals that we've been talking about at church, we walk by them and say, Happy Sabbath. Listen to the counsel from the spirit of prophecy, criticizing others from voice, speech, and song, 145. There is often a great temptation to talk of things which do not profit the speaker nor the hearer, but which bring evil and barrenness to both. Our probationary time is too brief to be spent in dwelling upon the shortcomings of others. It goes on to say, under sanctified lips, the truly converted, what did I say? The truly converted man has no inclination to think or talk of the faults of others. His lips are sanctified. And as God's witness, he testifies that the grace of God has transformed his heart. Those only will enter heaven who have overcome the temptation to think and to speak evil. And the prophet goes on to say, under the title, Today's Cannibals, slanderous speeches, which is in truth cannibalism, will not be spoken by those who are feeding on that which is the bread of life, the word of the living God, and delighting themselves on the marrow and fatness of God's exceeding great and precious promises. Through Jesus Christ, the soul is in communion with the heavenly angels and can have no desire now to indulge in foolish chit-chat conversation, to sit at the table with slanderers. God speaks of idle people, intrusive meddlers who speak much and think little. But in the morning, fill me, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. And God says, no, you can't experience the power. These people don't even occupy their time with the study of God's word and prayer, but asking for the Holy Spirit. Having so much time, they resort to cannibalism. Won't eat a piece of meat if somebody put a gun to their head, but sitting at the dinner table on Sabbath afternoon, eating somebody alive. They are human cannibals destroying one another's characters, actually devouring one another with gossip. Our beloved, the most exercise some people get is running down their friends, pushing their luck, sidestepping responsibility, and jumping to conclusions about somebody. My brothers and sisters, we have to learn to be quiet. The Bible talks and speaks about busybodies. We mentioned that last evening. God, I guess he wants to repeat some things. And God sends a warning against those who talk too much. You know anybody like that? In Proverbs 29:11, the Bible says, "A fool uttereth all his mind." Tell everything. You know, there are many languages in this world, but I can only speak English, and I know that's not perfect. But we can all be quiet in all languages. Come on and say amen. My mother used to always tell me, "Son, if you don't want people to know anything or your business, don't tell anybody." You know why? Because that person that you go over to and you say this, and it's so common, it's just between me and you. And after you tell that person, they run to another person and say, "It's just between me and you." And after they tell that person runs to another person and say, "It's just between me and you, but I hear." You might as well just stood up in front of church on Sabbath and told everybody. Come on and say amen. God says to us, when you do this, you're not experiencing the power. There's times when we would best serve God by just being quiet. I remember one day a young lady was visiting with a friend in her living room, and she had this little two-year-old that was always getting into stuff, you see, and she couldn't wait till she would talk, you know. And then one day she had the friend over, and the little two-year-old comes in and start talking and saying things and began to tell the business. And when a friend left, she looked at her little daughter, the two-year-old, and says, "And to think I was going to be glad when you can talk." Sometimes we need to shut up. What do you say? The word of God says in Matthew chapter 12 and looking at verse 36, I'd like for us to read this together, amen? Matthew chapter 12, looking at verse 36. The word of God says, "But I say unto you that every idle word," if you have it, say amen. "But I say unto you that every idle," what? "That men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment." Don't you think that you want to guard what you say? Said, "Lord, put your words in my mouth." Amen. My brothers and sisters, did you know that when you speak well of someone, that you are blessing them? Did you know that? When you speak negatively about someone, you are cursing them. Now ask yourself, how much blessing and cursing do you do day by day? I want Jesus to bless me, so I want to bless others. Amen. I want to be positive. When you see negative things happen with people and all those things, we're praying for the Holy Spirit to fill us and fill our lives. We can't experience the power if we go around cursing people. Can't do it. I want to be blessed. Even if you see something that's very true and very negative, pray. Bless them and bless his name. Come on and say amen. Now God said, who said? In James 1:26, "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridle not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." I don't want my walk with the Lord and all these things that I do in his cause to be in vain. I don't want to be numbered among those in Matthew chapter 7 saying, "Lord, didn't I do this, didn't I do that?" And the Lord turns to me and says, "I don't know you." If you're not going to go all the way with the Lord and be faithful to him, having his power in you, finishing his work, doing all those things, if you're just going to be teetering the fence saying, "I'm not on God's side really, I'm not on the devil's side really, I haven't made up my mind yet, I'm on the fence," let me tell you, the devil owns the fence. Beloved, if there is someone you just can't stand and you hate it when they come around, if the sound of their voice down here gets on your nerves, don't worry. The Lord will not take you to heaven where you would have to hear it for eternity. He won't suffer you to go. We have to get it right down here. Right now. We have to do it right now to experience the power. Are you listening? So if you can't stand somebody down here, just know where you're headed. You're taking sin to hell. Number four. Why, Lord, cannot we sin? How come we can't have the power of the Holy Spirit? We're praying for it, but we're not getting it. God says, it's number four. Unforgiveness. Beloved, this thing called unforgiveness is going to keep many people from making it to heaven. Reminds me of a situation in a church one time. Two ladies was favoring the same young man. He was single, and I guess most ladies today would know how that is when there's not many men in the church in many places. They were really lobbying, trying to get ahead of each other to get this fella. One young lady ended up getting a date with the guy. The other young lady got upset. They spent a lot of time together, and one day, the relationship didn't work out, and the other lady took her ticket and joined in. Spent a lot of time with him. That didn't work out either. Spent about 8 months with the fella, more than the first lady. The surprising thing was, these two young ladies, because they liked the same guy, couldn't stand each other. When they came to church every week, they looked around to see where the other one was to make sure that if she's sitting over there, I'm sitting over here. And years have passed on now, some months. And people would come and wonder, what's the problem with these two individuals? And they found out that they were both upset at each other because of one man. Not only that, they found out that the man had moved away and got married to somebody and had a child. But they're upset at one another. And then the question came, well, how old is the child? 21. People like that in the church today can't get along. Unforgiveness, harboring hatred, getting on their knees every morning, Lord, saying, Lord, fill me with the power. And God says, no, my spirit will not dwell in an unclean place. Are you listening, church? Unforgiveness. In Matthew chapter 6, what book did I say? The Bible gives us clear warning what will happen if we're unforgiving. And the Word of God says, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Wow. And the sad thing about this text, many people don't believe it. Why? Because they still won't forgive people. The fifth item that keeps people from receiving and experiencing the power of the Holy Ghost, a lack of prayer, a lack of studying the Word of God, three in this category, and a lack of witnessing. What did I say? Let's deal with the prayer side, though. In 2 Chronicles, what book did I say? Let's turn there. One of the favorite texts we like to quote when we talk about prayer. Let's dig in deep on this one for a minute. You still with me? Say amen. 2 Chronicles 7:14. God places a condition here of his blessings. And that's why he starts it out by saying, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, shall do what? And pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, not forgiving people. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Bless your home, heal your land, hear your prayer, answer your prayer. God will do all these things. Many people now cannot experience the power because they are not humble. That's the one I want to park the car on right now. They're not humble. Let's take a humble test and see where you stand. When people disagree with you, do you argue and defend your position? Are you hurt when those whom you dislike are honored? Do you find it difficult to admit that you're wrong? Know anybody like that? Is it that person in the mirror? Do you inwardly react and become upset at criticism? Do you give your opinions before being asked for them? Do you enjoy sharing about your accomplishments? Do you talk more than you listen? Are you more concerned about your reputation or God's? Do you seek ways to humble yourself? Do you do things for praise and compliments? I just sung, how was it? I just preached, how was it? Help me, Jesus. Do you accept praise rather than deflecting it? Are you quick to correct others when they make mistakes? Do you react when you do not receive credit that you're due? And then lastly, the list can be longer, but we'll cut it here. Feet are hurting. Amen. Do you compare yourself with others rather than God? Where do we stand in the humble test? And we're asking God for the Holy Spirit all the time. Beloved, we are counseled from the Pen of Inspiration, 7th Book of the Testimonies, 32. The same power to be revealed today. By the grace of Christ, the apostles was made what they are. It was sincere devotion and humble, earnest prayer that brought them into a close communion with him. They sat together with him in heavenly places. They realized the greatness of their debt to him. By earnest, persevering prayer, they obtained the endowment of the Holy Spirit. And then they went forth, weighed with the burden of saving souls, filled with the zeal to extend the triumphs of the cross, and under their labors, many souls were brought from darkness to light, because there was a lighthouse, and many churches was raised up. They humbled themselves. Our beloved God wants us to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. This will aid us in our daily life and also in our witnessing. Now I want to encourage you. Amen. Church, we don't have to wait until we've overcome every weakness to receive the power. Isn't he a good God? Uses us in spite of ourselves. But you can't say, I'm going to commit iniquity and hold on to things. No, God is working on the building. The power comes that we might overcome our weakness, though. There is a power available right now. What did I say? Right now to everybody. First, to become what God would have us to become. And secondly, that we might go out and win others through our witness. That power is available right now. Yeah. Come on and say amen. We must keep in mind that the power of the God attends the truth. So stop lying. And it does not attend error. Tell the truth. Turning away from the word of God means turning away from the power of God. When people ask you questions about the things of God, give them the biblical answer. Don't say, I think, I feel. Give them the power. Come on and say amen. The power of God is associated with Christ. When Christ is not supreme, the Spirit of God is absent. There's many places, many churches making a lot of noise, jumping up and down, singing, banging off the walls and everything, trying to conjure up the Holy Spirit, and he won't come. Why? Because truth does not prevail. Therefore, when the Spirit of God is absent, the power of God is not there. And I can't afford to be anywhere where the power of God is not there. Oh, no. We can't have this power as long as we're clinging to some little precious evil in our lives. Beloved, please remember, God doesn't give his power to just anybody. You don't hand a stick of dynamite to a two-year-old. Come on and say amen. Mature Christians, those who are going to do God's will, he gives it to sincere and faithful. The sincere and faithful. Those who are consecrated to his service at all times, no matter where they are. Those people who are faithful. He's talking about, yeah, I'm going to be a Christian and I'm going to be a lighthouse and I'm going to be in God's will. I'm going to be faithful. Many people only will be faithful in church. But let me tell you something. The secret to being a saint is to be a saint in secret. No matter where you are, you have more church than at church. At your house, because that's the first church, you know. And if you want to develop that power in your life, you need to do it at home. Many people come to church blaming the pastor and the leadership for all of the chaos that's happening in the church. But you know what the problem is? It is the chaos that's happening in the homes that's brought to the church. And if the Spirit of God is in charge of the homes that we come from, guess what kind of power the church will have? That's why in Zechariah chapter 4, we won't take the time to read it at this time. God goes through the whole scenario. It's talking about how he's pouring out his Spirit upon his church and his witnesses and his people. And it's talking about the two olive trees and the golden oil, which was emptied through golden pipes into a bowl, into a candlestick, dents into golden lamps that gave light to the sanctuary. So from the holy ones that stand in God's presence, God's people who are filled, his Spirit now is imparted to human instrumentalities that are consecrated to his service. God will fill his people who is doing just that. And it's got to start at home. God gives his power to keep us from sinning too. We learned that last night, amen. The Holy Spirit is given to us to keep us from sinning. God's idea for his children is higher than the highest human thought can reach. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. This command is a promise. The plan of redemption contemplates our complete recovery from the power of Satan. And that's what God wants. Christ always separates the contrite soul from sin. He came to destroy the works of the devil. And he has made provision that the Holy Spirit shall be imparted to every repentant soul to keep them from sinning. Beloved, it's time again now to ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Keep in mind now, God doesn't put his Spirit in an unclean place. So before we make that prayer tonight, empty yourselves. So we must empty ourselves that we may receive and experience the power. Beloved, this is very important. Why? Because in Genesis chapter 6, looking at verse 3, the Lord says, my spirit will not always strive with man. That spirit speaks sometimes in thunder tones, and the voice gets softer and softer and softer, telling us that this is the way to go. Walk ye in. And if we ignore it, it gets softer and softer and softer. and it won't strive with you. God will not force you. We need the testimony of the psalmist. Amen. Psalms 51. What book did I say? As we move this near close. Psalms 51, 10 through 12. This should be our prayer. This should be our desire if we're to receive and experience the power. And God says in verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. That's an implication that he will, if we're not really interested in receiving it by doing his will. And then in verse 12, he says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. When God releases this power, there's a name for it. It's called revival. When God releases this power changes will take place. A revival is a religious explosion, and it shatters complacency and tears down tradition and makes us different. We're not the same as we used to be, and we cannot have this thinking that we will go to work and come home and watch television, and that's all God requires. The Bible says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. And if you have this power, you can't keep that in. You have to tell it. Can I get a witness? I know when I first had the power hit me and I became a soul winner for God. And every time people see me, I was talking about the Lord, you see, that first love, you see. And when they saw me, they either ran away because they didn't want to hear it or they just wanted more. When people see you today, do they run? Because you're always talking about Christ. Or do they run to you because you always have a joke to tell? In closing, whenever there is an explosion, it compels attention. When that bomb fell on Hiroshima, the whole world trembled, and it was the headline across the nations. Now, when we receive this power, we will attract this attention. When we are brought into the line through Jesus Christ's grace by his power, then the attention of men and women, boys and girls, will be called to us. Not by what we say, but by what we do and what we are. Right now, some of our families pay us no attention. Some of our children have no respect for what we say. But when this power and revival explosion takes place in our own personal lives, people right in our homes will know the difference. Beloved, this revival and reformation will start only when each and every one of us seeks Jesus in a personal and private way and really mean business. We have to clear the avenues of our soul with God and our fellow man. And when this happens, as we go to church, a revival will spread with a contagious divine disease from pew to pew and heart to heart. But it's going to have to start with one person. And that person ought to be you. Beloved, do you really want to experience the power of the Holy Spirit? Let me hear you say amen. Well, I have some advice. Make sure you don't leave this place without reconciling with that member of this church that you have a problem with. And if they're not here, call them on the phone before you leave here. And if you can't catch them then, when you get home, but make sure you do that reconciliation before you close your eyes and sleep tonight. Make sure you confess all of your sins to God right here, right now. Make sure you commit your life to God completely, right here, right now. Make sure you commit your home to God. Right here, right now. Time is running out. As a matter of fact, we're on borrowed time. If we're going to experience the power, we have to empty ourselves completely and follow the principles that was laid out tonight. Bible study tonight. The Lord is looking for a people who's dead serious. On the way here, my wife and I was talking, as we always do. Thank the Lord, somebody to talk to. Till she gets tired and we have to go home and she wants to sleep and I drive and I don't have anybody to talk to. Talk to Jesus. But the thing is simply this. Too many people, we were talking about this, think that coming to church consistently every Sabbath, their salvation is pretty good. The devil comes before the deacon opens the door every Sabbath and don't miss one. You have nothing on the arch enemy. Many people think that coming to church and being busy in the church and doing all the work and everything and going through the rituals of service and all that stuff and they're consistent seals their salvation. It's not about works, y'all. It's the evidence of a person that is filled with the Spirit, hopefully, wanting to do God's work. Many people think that if they can get their children to just come to church, or they can get somebody just to come to church, maybe they'll hear something that make them want to give their heart to Christ. That's true, to an extent. But decisions, what did I say? Are made away from the church in a life situation through some circumstance, some providence, and most of the decisions are made on your knees away from the church. So when you come to church, you're already primed. And the Lord moves on whoever sharing the message that day to make the call. Decisions are made in the home. But how can a decision be made in the home if your home have not the Holy Spirit in charge? When someone is invited to your home and they walk through your front door and they cross the threshold, can they experience the power? Can they sense the Holy Spirit there? Mom's dear mother is always upset because people come to her house and don't want to leave. They come and say, oh, it's so peaceful here and so comfortable here. And the only way that she can get them to leave is pull out the Bible. Bless God, she did that enough time to somebody finally gave their heart to Jesus and got baptized last year. But again, does your home have the power of the Holy Spirit? Is that first church governed by the Holy Spirit? That is God in charge of your home? Because if he is, can you imagine if every one of our homes is truly filled and guided by the Holy Spirit? What would this church be like? If you're gossiping at home, you're bringing it to the church. If you're praying at home and everybody, you're doing your evening and morning devotions, you want to do that at church. I don't know why the Lord is moving this direction, but I'm going to be obedient. One day there was a children's story going on, and the person who was giving the children's story decided to ask, as they normally do, who would like to pray. None of the kids, about 25 of them sitting up there, wanted to pray. And I didn't quite think it was odd. I mean, maybe they're shy, and you can't say that's the case with everybody, but don't you think if they were used to praying at home, they would want to pray in church? That's very significant, you know. Now, some will be shy, and they may pray at home. But at large, you will think that if they're used to praying at home, they want to pray at church. Amen. So therefore, children learn what they live. So whatever they're experiencing at home, that's what they will do in church. So you're being watched. I'm being watched by that one, that husband who's outside of the ark of safety, just watching you. That wife who's outside of the ark of safety, that's watching you. That son, that daughter, watching you, who's not ready to give their heart to Jesus, and they're waiting for you to slip up and say, "See, that's why I don't want to do it." Let's truly be a lighthouse in our homes, amen? Let's truly experience the power, amen? Let's truly give our homes to Jesus, give our family to Jesus, and let's burn up this community with the power of God. So now, as we finally close, wow. It's time to pray. And I'd like for us all now to stand. And again, please take to heart. If there's someone here that you have a problem with, get it straight. Please do that. Because God would allow other circumstances to try to save you, and it might be worse than what you're dealing with now. That's because he loves you. So right now, I want to pray for all of us, but make sure you don't leave here without getting your crooked things straight. Amen. And asking God to break you on the rock, Christ Jesus, and make you new again, piece by piece. Don't leave here being the same. Let's turn Bakersfield upside down. What do you say? Let us pray. Father, Lord, we can't do nothing on our own. But Lord, you gave us the power of choice. So tonight, we're choosing you again. So fill us, Lord, with your spirit. Move upon our hearts to get our personal walk with you in line by surrendering our will completely. That we will get our relationships in line by asking for forgiveness of the things that we've done to one another. Take our homes and take charge. We want to experience the power, Lord. We can call ourselves a lighthouse all we want to, but if we don't have your Holy Spirit, we will be fruitless and a tool in the devil's hand. So fill us, oh God. Forgive us our sins. Anoint us tonight. Give us the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we know you'll fill us when we're cleaned out. So I ask a special blessing upon the pastor of this church, his home, his wife, his family, his children, extended family that he represents, all of the leaders here, all of the men here. Lord, explode this place with your power. Don't let us be the same. Help us to be extraordinary people, weird for you. Always talking about you, all the while, always working for you, doing the things to help others, meeting the needs of humanity, finishing the work by showing the life, the love, and the gospel to people. Help us, God. I don't know what to pray, Lord. Please, you bless what is needed here tonight and for all of us. So now, Lord, as we leave this place, may we never be the same. And Lord, we know if we're going to follow you, we're going to experience persecution. So we need encouragement. So help us to be here tomorrow night to learn how to hold on. This I pray in Jesus' name. Let the church say amen. 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 And amen.
Thank you for listening to another powerful presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We trust that you have been blessed and pray that you will choose to be used by God. As always, stay blessed, by the best.